Chapter 15, Lewis's Choice. "Marie, may I come in?" It was nearly noon on the following day, and Henry stood at the door of Marie's room, where Lewis still lay. As he entered, he could not help seeing that the little fellow looked more pale and fragile than ever. His golden hair fell back from a face whiter than the clean but unbleached cotton upon which it lay, and his eyes shone with the light of fever, yet he turned round with a bright smile of welcome for his brother, and held out a hand so thin and wasted that Henry could have cried over it. Only Marie was in the room with him. Gloom had gone out for a long walk by himself, and Leonora was gathering apples with Madame Argent in the orchard. "Do you feel better today, Lewis, darling?" asked Henry, as he sat down beside him. "Oh, yes, thank you," said Lewis, with the same bright smile. "He always says he is better," said Marie wistfully, "but just now he tried to walk across the room, and—" She stopped, fearful of giving way to a burst of tears. "And I couldn't," said Lewis, taking up the sentence with that strange, quiet cheerfulness. "Isn't it odd, Henry, because I feel really much better than I did the last 2 or 3 days. I suppose I shall get rested by and by, if I lie still long enough. Only I am so sorry, because I'm afraid it is only for me you are waiting now." "It is not that we mind the waiting," said Henry hoarsely. "Only, do you know, Lewis, Madame Argent thinks it may be a long time before you are strong enough to walk again." "Does she think I am going to die?" asked the child, with an actual light of eagerness in his beautiful blue eyes. "Oh, no, no," burst from his brother and sister at once. It was all they could say, and Marie knelt down by the window that Lewis should not see the struggle in her face. "I am rather sorry, I think," Lewis went on. "I thought about it all last night, when I was so vexed because I was keeping you all, and I saw Madame Argent go out of the room crying, and I thought if I did die it would be all right, because I should only go to Mama and Papa and Arella, and then you would not have to carry me all the way." "Oh, Lewis, please don't talk so," burst out Marie. "You are not going to die. Madame Argent says so." "Then how long shall we all have to wait here?" asked Lewis in a resigned tone. "Well, that depends," said Henry hesitatingly. It was very touching to see the big, handsome, bronzed lad bending over the slight, fragile, golden-haired child with such tender sorrow and care. "What should you think, Lewis, of staying here to get well with Madame Argent, while we went on to Amsterdam and then sent for you in some easier way?" Lewis gave a violent start. His cheeks flushed painfully, and the great blue eyes were turned entreatingly toward his brother. "Go on without me," he said. "Oh, no, Lewis, darling, we won't," sobbed Marie, falling on her knees beside him. "We will never leave you if you don't like it." Henry put his hand on Marie's shoulder with a whispered hush, though his own voice was husky as he spoke to Lewis. "You must think about it, darling, and be quite sure we will not leave you, even for a time, unless you wish it. Madame Argent said it would be the best way, and we propose to ask you, but nothing shall separate us, my Lewis, if you cannot bear it." The child buried his face in the pillow without a word, and no one spoke for a minute or more, for Henry signed silence to his sister. Then there was a knock at the door, and Leonora's voice said, rather timidly, "Henry and Marie, are you not coming down to the de jour?" "Yes, go down," said a small, smothered voice from the pillow. "Go away, even Marie, please, and when you come up again, I will tell you." They went down and left him alone, but as soon as the meal was over, the brother and sister hurried upstairs again, and came quietly into the room. Louis turned round with his quiet, bright smile. "I have thought about it, Marie," he said as they came up to the bed. "I shall stay." Marie knelt down and kissed him, unable to speak. "I think Papa would have said so," he went on in the same dreamy way. "I would rather have died, I think, unless dying hurts very much, for then I should only have gone from you and Gloom to Papa and Mama and Arella, and now I shall be all alone. But I don't mind it much, Marie, never mind," for he guessed that Marie was crying, though he could not see her face. "Children de St. Croix," he murmured half to himself. "I don't remember much of the old days, but do you remember one Sunday Papa was talking about that, and we asked how we could be soldiers of the cross, and he said we could not choose, God would show us each our own way?" The two elders listened with astonishment, almost with dismay, to hear their little Louis, who had always seemed even more childish than his years, talking in this way. What did it mean? Neither of them spoke, and Louis turned away again with a deep sigh. "I am so tired," he said. "I think I could go to sleep again now. Only you won't go away, will you? I should like to see you as long as I can, and you ought to start tomorrow." "Oh, not tomorrow, not so soon as that," cried Marie. "Yes, tomorrow," insisted the child quietly. "Is that not right, Henry?" "I suppose so," said the elder brother very sadly. They moved away then to the window where Louis could still see them, and after a little while they thought he had fallen asleep, but he still seemed restless and at last asked where Gloom was. "I will call him," said Marie. When she opened the door, she was surprised to find Leonore crouching on the narrow landing outside in an attitude of suspense. She sprung up as Marie came out, asking in an excited whisper, "Oh, Marie, what have you settled?" "He is going to stay," said Marie simply, "and he wants Gloom." "I will find him," and Leonore vanished down the narrow stairs in a moment. Marie went back and told Louis that Leonore had gone to find Gloom, and then she and Henry sat down in the window seat again and waited. It was nearly an hour before Leonore came back and admitted Gloom, white and trembling, but resolutely calm, and then lingered beseechingly at the half-closed door until Marie beckoned to her to come in also. So they all sat together that long, bright afternoon, the four talking in whispers at first while Louis slept. They would have avoided speaking of their departure when he awoke, but they soon found that it was the only thing he seemed to care to talk about, and every detail, so far as they knew, of their morrow's journey was settled by Louis's bedside. Madame Argent left them to themselves. She guessed pretty well how matters were going on. But the longest day comes to an end at last, and so did that long, bright autumn day, which none of the children ever forgot. It grew too late to keep Louis talking any longer. They went down for a short time to make arrangements with Monsieur and Madame Argent. The short night passed, and the morning had come. They were to start very early, and instead of the usual coffee and rolls, Madame Argent had prepared a meat breakfast for them at 7 o'clock. One or other of them had been hanging about Louis since 6. He had been carried down to see them at breakfast, and now was propped up again at his bedroom window, whence he could see them go down the orchard path and across the field before the road must take them out of sight. Here they all came round him to say goodbye for the last time. Marie was biting her lip to keep back the tears, which she had prayed for help to repress. Louis must see her for the last time with a bright face. Louis was smiling too, though there was a quiver about his lip. "We have not had any singing this morning," he said wistfully as they all came in. "Couldn't we have one song before you go?" Could they? The elder ones exchanged glances at this simple and yet it seemed impossible request. But they could not deny Louis, and Leonore, seeing that they could not trust themselves to speak, bent forward and asked Louis what they should sing. "Sing the song of the soldiers of the St. Croix," he said. It was the oldest of all their songs that he asked for, one that they used never to be weary of singing, even when the words had little meaning for them in the old home at St. Croix. Tradition said that it had been composed on the march by an old Orella de St. Croix who went to Palestine in the First Crusade. They had sung it almost every day since they left St. Louis de Lenard, and no one wondered at Louis's choice. Leonore began it, her rich young voice sounding alone at first, but one after another they all joined in, and the old spirit kindled in them as they sang. "It is true, the road is rough and dreary. It is true, our feet are sore and weary. Parched with thirst, our lips are cracked and bleeding. Scarcely can we see the banner leading. Yet lift your hearts up, comrades, comrades. Lift your hearts up to the Lord. Lo, for each one of us, his soldiers, there's a crown of glory stored. Much shall it profit us, comrades, comrades, if we count this world as loss, for there's a paradise beyond it for his soldiers of the cross. Let us watch, the post is worth maintaining. Let us fight, the strife is worth the gaining, till the sword is struck from arms unslackened, and we drop down dead in deserts blackened. Yet lift your hearts up, comrades, comrades, etc. Unto death we bear the cross of Jesus. Unto death we strike and know he sees us. After death is time for peace and pleasure. After death comes rest beyond our measure. Then lift your hearts up, comrades, comrades. Lift your hearts up to the Lord. Lo, for each one of us, his soldiers, there's a crown of glory stored. Much shall it profit us, comrades, comrades, if for lifelong toil and loss we hear him say, "Well done, my soldiers, my brave soldiers of the cross." Even Louis found strength to join in that chorus, and when it was over he lay back content. "Say goodbye now," he said. Leonore came and kissed him and then drew back again, but could not bear to leave the room. And the sister and brothers kissed each other with long, lingering kisses and resolute smiles, and then took up their cross and turned away. Down through the orchard they went, each one lingering and looking up to the little casement where the golden head shone so brightly, and the blue eyes followed them so wistfully, and the little hand fluttered a signal of goodbye. At the corner of the field they stopped to take a farewell look, and then, with one accord, they turned and ran until they could run no longer. Late that night, after singing but one hymn, and that brokenly, they lay down once more by a campfire to rest. Marie, after thankfully watching Henry fall asleep, he had not slept the whole of the preceding night, stayed for a long time talking in a low tone to Gloom, who in one of his rare fits of unreserve was pouring out all his self-reproach for his late neglect of Louis and unfair treatment of Henry. "There never was such a fellow for thinking of everyone except himself," he concluded. "Oh, Marie, I wish I were like him." "Hush, then, my Gloom," said Marie softly. "Henry would not like you to say that. Don't you remember Orella used to say we must not try to be like one another, but like Christ?" "Please God, so I will," said the boy solemnly. In the silence that followed, Marie heard something which sounded like a moan from Leonore, whom she had fancied to be asleep. Gloom heard it too, and half started up. Marie went to her and was almost frightened, for Leonore was crying bitterly, her whole frame heaving with long, deep-drawn sobs. Marie had never seen her cry before. "Leonore, oh, Leonore, what is it?" she asked, with her arm round the sobbing girl. Leonore clung tightly to her and gasped out, "Oh, Marie, don't hate me. Love me a little, for I am so miserable. I have no one in all the world, and it makes me nearly mad to see you all together, but I did not mean to take Gloom away from Louis." "Nor did you, darling," said Marie with her tenderest caresses. "Louis loved you. We all love you, Leonore." Gloom had heard his own name and came forward. "Leonore," he said with a trembling voice, "you make me more miserable by thinking so. Pray don't cry. Be our sister. Let us comfort each other." Leonore caught him by the hands and kissed him for the first time, and with Marie's arm still round her. Then Gloom crept back again, and Marie and Leonore fell asleep together.